Well, hello there, and welcome to Live with Lon today. We are so glad to have you. Can you relate to this? As a follower of Jesus, I go out of my house every morning wanting and being committed to obeying God in everything that I do that day. What I say, where my eyes go, where my mind goes, what I do. And then I come home, and at the end of the day, boy, I have a number of places where I struggled and let the Lord down and didn't follow through and do what I knew He wanted me to do. Can you relate to that? Sure you can. We all can. Well, what do we do about that? How can we get better in our daily walk in terms of obeying the Lord? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Christian life, and we're going to talk about the fact that it is a supernatural life that needs to be lived in a supernatural fashion. And that so many of us, including me, the reason that we don't do better in our daily routine is because we're not living the Christian life supernaturally. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds today to your word. Enable us, I pray, dear Father, to really understand and to appropriate your word and your teaching today about the Christian life to our life so that we can live a more consistent life of holiness and obedience to you. Lord Jesus, anoint me as I teach the word today, and may it all be for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Yes. Okay. We're going to dig right in just a second, because you know here at Lon Solomon Ministries, we study the Bible. Come on, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. And then we apply to our life. We're, as you know, studying the Gospels. We're approaching the end of the Gospels because we're in the final chapters of each Gospel where Jesus has now been arrested, taken to the house of the high priest, where he was kept overnight, and then taken to stand before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. But just before we do Pontius Pilate's role in all this, which we'll do next week, I want to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane for just a minute and read a couple of verses from the Garden of Gethsemane passage. I'm in Matthew chapter 26. Of the New King James Version of the Bible. And here's what the Bible says. Verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over here. And he said, verse 38, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the point of death. Stay here and watch with me. Verse 40. And he came back, that is after he prayed, to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now I want us to focus today on Jesus' comment, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you think the disciples sitting there that evening after the Last Supper wanted to stay awake and pray with Jesus and wait with Jesus? Yeah, I do. Do you think they were willing to do that? Sure. The spirit was willing for them. Right? Yeah. But then they got sleepy after a nice big meal and it was dark, evening time, and they fell asleep. Why? Do you think they fought fighting asleep? Yeah. You've done this, sitting in the chair in front of the television set, maybe in the late in the evening, and you're like, and then you're up, and you're like, and then you're up. Yeah, you know what it's like to fight sleep. That's just what they did. And eventually, it won them over, and they fell asleep. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak and couldn't perform on what the spirit was willing to do. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, isn't that true of our life today as followers of Christ? Yeah. I mean, we said it earlier. We walk out of our house in the morning. Maybe we've had a good quiet time, or we've prayed, or we've read the scripture, and we're ready for a new day. And we say, Lord, today I'm going out here to live for you. I'm going out here to pursue personal holiness like I know I should. I'm going out here to be a good witness and obey the commands of the word of God for my life. Spirit's willing. And then we go out and it doesn't work out so perfectly. We say something that's slanderous or full of malice. We gossip about somebody around the water cooler or the coffee pot. We criticize and judge someone harshly and say unkind things about them. We look at a woman or a man in a way that is lustful. We think things in our minds that are just not right. We maybe do things that are not pleasing to the Lord. The flesh is weak, and we all have experienced this. This is what Paul talks about. Listen to this, Romans chapter 7. And some people argue whether he's talking as a believer or a non-believer in what he says here. You say, Lon, what do you think? I think it could be either, but he's talking as a believer because he uses the present tense. And as he's writing this, he's a Christian, he's a believer. So he uses the present tense. I think he's writing as a believer. Here's what he says, beginning in verse 15. He says, for what I want to do, that I do not do, but what I hate, that I do. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Inside of me, I delight in what God tells me he wants me to do in the way he wants me to live. But, verse 23, I see another law in my members, in my body, carrying on war against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Okay? Verse 19, let's go back. For the good that I want to do, I don't do. But the evil that I do not want to do, that is what I do. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wants to do good. I believe here the Apostle Paul is talking about the struggle that even he faced as a human being, and he's very clear about it. I want to do good. My mind, my heart, my spirit rejoices in the way God wants me to live. But I don't go out and actually do it. I do what I hate, sin, what I don't want to do. And then he concludes that chapter by saying, verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Yeah, I mean, sometimes don't we come home and just go, oh, Lord, who's going to deliver me from myself? Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I did today. Yeah, but I can't seem to help myself, Lord. We've been there. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Well, he answers the question. last verse in the chapter, I thank God that I can be delivered through, look, Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. That's the dichotomy that he lays out for us here, which we can all identify. But he says, I can have deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what does he mean by that? What kind of deliverance is he talking about? Well, let's talk about that for a second. Friends, the Christian life is a supernatural life. Thus, the title of the message today, it's a supernatural life. What that means is that the flesh, our sinful human nature, cannot live the Christian life. This is what Paul says, that whenever I want to do good, my flesh pulls me down. And here, what does he say? He says, with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The flesh cannot live the supernatural Christian life. And that's why when we go out of our house every day and we say, Lord, I am just determined to live for you today. You know, I will not do this and I will not do that. I will not gossip. I will not slander. I will not judge harshly. I will not say evil things. I will not look lustfully on members of the opposite sex. I will not. Well, what are we doing? That's the flesh. We're going to go out there and gut it out. That's the flesh trying to live the Christian life. The flesh can't live the Christian life. The flesh is completely serving the law of sin. That's what Paul says. Our sinful nature cannot live the Christian life. Christian life can only be lived supernaturally. It's a supernatural life. And that means it can only be lived by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. This is what Paul says. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, capital S, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you want. This is exactly what Paul said in Romans 7. I want to obey God, but because of my flesh, I do not do the things that I want, right? And why is that? Because the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and they are contrary to one another. And Paul says, but walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What does that mean? It means that the Christian life, stick with me here, has to be a supernatural life, stick with me here, that the Holy Spirit lives through us. The Holy Spirit lives the Christian life. The Holy Spirit lives the Christian life through us. We are a conduit, but he is the power to live the Christian life. Say, I'm not sure I understand, Lon. Okay, well, then try this. Let's take an electric fan. Obviously, we want the fan to spin so that it cools us down. Now, there's two ways to get that fan to spin. One way is to stick your finger in where the fan is and roll that fan around and around and around. Now, it won't spin very fast. It won't be very efficient. And the minute you stop, the fan stops. That's how many of us try to live the Christian life, in the flesh. I will not do this. I will not do that. I will not do this. And in the flesh. No. The other way to live the Christian life is supernaturally. The other way to spin the fan is plug it into the electric socket, and the electricity flows through the fan and spins it and makes it effective. Is the are we spinning the fan? No. Is the fan spinning itself? Well, no. The electricity flowing through it is what's spinning it. And that's the Holy Spirit living through us, the Christian life, living through us and giving us the power to actually live the way we walked out of our house this morning, saying we wanted to live today. He's the one flowing through us at the water cooler, saying, Lon, don't get involved in this conversation. Lon, here's the power. Walk away. Lon, here's the power. Don't open your mouth and slander that person, even though others are doing it. Lon, don't look at that woman that way. Lon, here's the power to do it, Lon. Don't think this. Lon, shake it off and here's the power to do it. Now, if I cut off the electric switch and stop the electricity from going to the fan, what happens? Fan stops spinning. When we cut off the flow of the Holy Spirit through our life, what happens? Well, we don't have the power flowing through us anymore to resist sin and live above it. And so that's when we fail. And how do we cut the switch off? Well, the scripture says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we quench and grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, what grieves and quenches God, his power in our life? Sin. So as we walk through the day, when we sin, it's like cutting off the light switch. It's like reducing the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like quenching him. And how do we fix that? Right there, right then, confess our sin. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry I did that. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry I said that. Please forgive me. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we confess our sin, don't wait till you get home to confess 50 sins. No, no, right there, right then. Practice the presence of God in your life. Right then, confess it. Lord, I'm so sorry. That was sin. That's wrong. And the Spirit, the light switch will flip back on. The Spirit will come back in fullness to your life. Are you with me? Okay. Now, I want to make that a little more practical, but let's ask our most important question first. You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. And Paul says, who will rescue me from this body of sin, wretched man that I am? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ will. Friends, don't give up hope. There's a way to live more consistently. Perfectly? No. More consistently? Yes. The Christian life. How sweet it is that God's provided that for us. How sweet it is. Now, let's go back to our premise. Our premise is that the flesh cannot live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit has to live it through us. And so, what I want you to take home today is that we need to start our day. Let's put some handles on this, saying, Lord Jesus, I want to live for you today, but I can't do it. And if I go out and try to do it in my own energy and strength, I'm going to fail miserably. So, Lord Jesus, please fill me with the Holy Spirit this morning and let him fill me all day long and let him live through me and give me the power as I go through the day in every situation. May he be there whispering in my ear. No, you don't want to do this. May he be there giving me the strength and the power to walk away or turn my head away or rebuke my mind or whatever. May he give me the power to do that so that I don't do what I'm on the verge of doing in the sin of my flesh. Are you with me? Lord, fill me. And when I do fall, when I do sin, help me confess it immediately and refill my tank with the Holy Spirit so that we can continue living the Christian life together. This is how you do it. And this way, we are living the Christian life supernaturally, because the Holy Spirit is living the supernatural power. The Holy Spirit is living the Christian life through us. When my boys were younger, they used to love to play PlayStation and all these things. And so I remember one of the things we had was PlayStation football. And I didn't really get much involved in it, but they would always want me to come play it with them. Hey, my hand-eye coordination's not that great. These guys, you know, they were amazing, my boys. But they thought it was hysterical that I was as terrible as I was. And I remember when you get on PlayStation football and it's time to kick off, you got a little, it looks like a thermometer or a barometer on the screen. And I think it's red, as I recall. There's this red up and it fills, it goes down, it fills, it goes down, it fills, it goes down, going up and down in this thing. And it goes fairly fast. And your goal is to kick the ball off when the barometer's at the top. And that way you kick it all the way down near the end zone. But if you kick it when the barometer is in the middle, you kick it to about the 20-yard line. And if you kick it when the barometer's near the bottom, the ball just dribbles like an onside kick. And I couldn't get it right. I would try. I'd be sitting there and I'd be looking at that barometer going up and down. And I, you know, I'm telling you, I tried, but my hand-eye coordination was so bad that as it was going up and down, I would kick it and the ball would go dink, 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 dink. And my boys thought that was the funniest thing they ever saw in their life. You know, that barometer going up and down is a picture of what happens in our lives as the day goes on with the Holy Spirit. He goes up and down, and the way to keep him at the top with the barometer completely full is by doing what I'm saying to you. Fill the barometer up before you leave the house in the morning, before you get out of bed, and even talk to your family, because some of the worst sins of the day can be committed before you walk out of the house after breakfast with your kids and with your wife or your husband. Okay. Pray and get the barometer up. Lord, fill me, please. You say, how can I convince him to fill me? You don't have to. Look, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you more than you want him to fill you. You understand? All you got to do for the Holy Spirit to fill you is not quench him and not grieve him. If you don't grieve him and you don't quench him, he will fill you because he wants to. God wants you to live the Christian life well. He wants you to go out and obey him. You don't have to talk the Holy Spirit into filling you and living through you, but commit your day to him and ask him to fill you. And then as you go through the day, as you sin, which we all do, the barometer starts to drop. You with me? And we want the barometer at the top. We don't want it dropping. So if you don't confess any sin that you do during the day until you get home at night, you know, the sin drops the barometer, and then you go through the whole day with the presence of the Holy Spirit bottomed out. You got me? That's when we confess our sin instantly during the day. It's a habit to develop. Then the Holy Spirit may start to drop, but we confess our sin and it goes back up. Lord, I'm sorry I looked at that woman like that. Lord, I'm sorry I looked at that man like that. Lord, I'm sorry I said that. Lord, I'm sorry I thought that. That was sin. That was so wrong. I'm sorry, Lord. And you keep the barometer at the top. And then the Holy Spirit in fullness lives through our life. You'd be amazed the power you get to say no to sin and no to the sinful acts of your flesh when you're living the Christian life that way. And yet that's not how we're taught to live the Christian life. I'm sorry. We come to Christ, and what do people say to us? Well, they give us the navigator wheel, if you've ever seen it. Bible study, prayer, fellowship. You know what I'm talking about. Scripture memorization. Fine. Anything wrong with Bible study? No. I'm all about Bible study. Anything wrong with prayer? Nope. Anything wrong with fellowship? Nope. Anything wrong with Bible memory? Nope. Anything wrong with witnessing? Nope. All good things. But they don't give you the power to live the Christian life. Why? Because they're all activities that you do. You can't live the Christian life. Reading the Bible will not give you the power to live the Christian life. It'll tell you what the Christian life ought to look like, but it won't give you the power to do it. Fellowship won't give you the power to live the Christian life, nor will prayer, nor will witnessing. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to live the Christian life. Walk in the Spirit, Paul says, Galatians 5:16, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let the Spirit be the one living through you, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They are mutually exclusive. If you're walking in the Spirit, the flesh is being subjugated by the power of the Spirit. It's being sublimated by the power of the Spirit. It's being repressed by the power of the Spirit, and it cannot dominate your life at that moment. Now, like I said, because we're human, sin squeegees through. We can't do it perfectly. The Lord Jesus did it perfectly, but we can't. And you say, do you know what he mean? The Lord did, Jesus did it perfectly. Well, Philippians chapter 2, the kenosis, the Greek word kanao, which means to empty, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself and became a man. It's possible, and I don't know, because I don't understand the Godhead, obviously, but it's possible that by doing that and by giving up the prerogatives of the Godhead, it's possible that the way the Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life is exactly the way that you and I need to live. He lived it through the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through his life. Because he had no sin nature, he could do it perfectly. Now, I don't know if that's right. That may not be right. He lived it through his own deity, maybe. Scripture's not 100% clear. But I think it's a possibility that he lived it the very way he's telling us to live it. Sin didn't squeegee through with him. It does with us. I don't care how much you try to live in the power of the Spirit. It does. But we confess it. We get forgiven. The barometer fills right back up. And that's how we go through our day. Will it make us sinless? No. Will it make us more consistent? Yes. Yes, it will, in terms of living the Christian life. So, in conclusion, the Spirit is willing in you, in me, as followers of Christ, I hope, it's willing to go out and seek to live for God every day. The flesh is weak. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death? Ah, thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us the Holy Spirit indwelling. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, if you were taught to live the Christian life any other way, then you were taught incorrectly. And that's why we tend to look at other people, and they seem to be living the Christian life so successfully. And we immediately assume, oh man, something must be really wrong with me because I'm certainly not that consistent. But you know what? They're looking at you. Who are you putting on your best front? And they're thinking, oh my gosh, look at them. I can't live that consistently. Something must be wrong with me. And everybody is walking around church thinking something's wrong with them because the other people there seem to be doing so much better at living the Christian life without realizing the other people looking at you thinking the same thing, and everybody's pasting the plastic on, and nobody's really being all that successful living the Christian life except the ones who are living it the way we just talked about. Okay, so stop being so hard on yourself. You've been trying to live the Christian life wrong. That's all. But the Christian life will work if we live it the way God tells us to live it. It's a supernatural life. It has to be lived supernaturally by the supernatural power of the supernatural Holy Spirit indwelling us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us today truth that hopefully will set us free to live a more consistent Christian life, to live a more consistent life of personal holiness and obedience to you, and will set us free to stop feeling so bad about ourselves, like we're failures, and be able, Lord Jesus, to rejoice in being Spirit-led and Spirit-filled as we seek to live the Christian life. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us today. Help us apply this to our life and find freedom. The Lord Jesus said, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And one part of that freedom is freedom from the tyranny of trying to live in the power of the flesh, which is a formula for disaster and failure. Thank you, Lord, and bring that freedom to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Okay, may God bless you, may he keep you, and may his grace shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord willing, see you next week on Live with Lana.